like the flags are moving and you have like animated Javas, you know, armor stand moving and stuff. Like you can throw things away and you just go pick up a balloon, and when you throw the balloon, it flies away. Click on this on the screens and it like makes a sound, or you're just kind of AFKing and you just hear a trolley pass you. Like all those small details, even within people's boots of interactivity, they're like gems. It feels like this convention is a real place that you can go and do things in.
Hello, hello everyone. I'm Gears.
I'm RX.
I'm Nexus.
And I'm MoxValix. And welcome to the Datapack Podcast, episode 16. And today we're joined by the two of the Smith Summit devs.
Hello.
In this episode, we're going to be interviewing them about Smith Summit and really how it was made and how they what they experienced while working on it. We'll start first with a personal question. Nexus, I'll ask you, who are you and how did you first get into Datapacks?
Well, I'm Nexus. I'm the one of the founders of the Smith Project, and I got started with Datapacks. I got started with commands in like 1.7, watching Dragnaws on YouTube. Doing one command creations, and then Datapacks came out in 1.13, so I moved over there and I've just been doing them since then.
Cool. RX, who are you and how did you first get into Datapacks?
Hello, I go by RX97 or RX. I got into Datapacks, I think 1.8 and then really 1.9. And I got involved through making a PvP server using command blocks when they changed the PvP system. And I stuck around ever since.
Hello, it's Editor Gears here. Just wanted to say that if you like listening to these podcasts audio only, I would strongly suggest for this podcast specifically to watch it with video. You'll get to see a lot of the cool booths that are on Summit Island during the Smith Summit, and we've also set up a Discord overlay so you can see who's talking in case it gets confusing with the four of us. Either way, enjoy the rest of the episode. Before we start talking about the Smith Summit, do you just want to give a quick summary or elevator pitch about what Smith is?
Sure, yeah. RX, do you want me to do it or do you want to do it?
I think you go ahead.
Okay, cool. So, what Smith is, Smith is like a curse forge or a moderanth, but built specifically for data packs and resource packs. It was started to improve the compatibility between the data packs through merging and conventions, but we're also a much larger community where we do kind of everything, do map making, and obviously we put together huge community events, game jams, and SMPs.
A lot of it has been based on the community, and we definitely have grown recently, but it's been pretty exciting.
Yeah, the server grew so much, it like grew by like 50% or maybe even doubled since the summit.
It overdoubled, yeah.
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 And speaking of the summit, what was Smith Summit?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and take this one. So Smith Summit was an idea that was based around giving a platform to the data packing scene and everything that surrounds it. So that's like map making, data packing, even resource packs, to sort of just celebrate all the creative aspects of everybody's projects. And the goal was to put together a week-long event filled with, you know, everybody's work on a server alongside panels, daily panels, multiple panels throughout the week, of various topics, such as learning how to use Zoglin, or learning how to use Beat, or introduction to WorldGen, et cetera. And it was meant a celebration, and it happened from November 2nd to November 9th. It was super exciting.
Yeah, I mean, we just spent an episode talking about our experience in the Smith Summit, and so yeah, this time we'll talk about Smith Summit from the perspective of you guys, the staff team, putting it all together. But let's start with, like, how did Smith Summit start? Like, where do you get the idea from?
Smith Summit originally came around from a joke, someone said, talking about, like, a Datapack meetup, and someone was like, well, what about in-game, like, convention. I think this started talking about Minecon Live, And so we just ran with it. We were like, yeah, it's a crazy idea, but like we should totally do it and bring the community together for it.
Yeah, sometimes the silly things like that, you know, are the beginnings of great ideas.
So then I guess, how were each of you involved in its development? Like, what were your different roles?
I guess what place... We had sort of three main managers that took care of the various parts. I guess I was the marketing lead and also coordinating with all of the booth vendors and panelists. So main communications lead, perhaps, is the best term for that.
Probably.
Yeah. And then Curious was the building lead and sort of all the creative aspects of all the different assets coordination, getting the booths planted on the server, and coordinating with the booth vendors about the specifications of those, and then also the actual summit build, well managed by Curious and then Nexus.
I was responsible for primarily like server infrastructure, as well as working with MKUIA 105 to lead like performance benchmarking and all of the fun technical details about pulling off an event at this size.
A lot of fun details.
Let's talk a bit about the development of the summit and what was, I guess, some of the highlights while you were developing the summit, like the best parts.
You want to lead this one off, Eric?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and take this. So it definitely was a tumultuous journey with all the different aspects. I think for the scale of the summit, we were always feeling like we were running out of time. So a lot of the really cool parts was seeing how much we could kind of get forward when it came to polish and different attention to details, considering how much against the clock we were. But, you know, and I think to start our very first meeting we had, it was like a Smith Council meeting. We onboarded Curious to really get involved. They were more of a passive member in this summit or in the Smith community prior. But once kind of Curious got on board, there was sort of like a match struck. And we all got really motivated in that first work session to kind of like lay out like a really large plan of what a summit was going to look like, especially not knowing what it could look like. Like we had no basis or foundation to build off of. There had been nothing like this done before, especially with this level of integration when it comes to like a convention styled server. And Curious basically took a paintbrush and took it away in terms of the main design of the actual server, while Nexus and I really focused on the other parts, sort of like what were panels going to look like. Some of the other ideas we had was like a Nintendo-style direct release video, which never ended up happening. And then also like contacting all the booth vendors, putting together the forms so that everybody could sign up effectively, and we had a system of organization for all that stuff. Those were like the initial steps for kind of getting it. And I would say the highlight was just seeing all the form just fill up. Like the fact that we were able to get 50 vendors signed on was an incredible thing. Like we never really expected to like fill up.
I think my biggest highlight from the development part of it was how many like community members we got involved like with the actual build process and with the data pack side. Because typically when it comes to Smith development, it's like three of us at any given point working on something, and it's pretty secluded. So working, you know, I think our team by the end of it, we had what, 15 people, Rx?
Yeah, 15, 16, yeah.
And everyone working together and at the same time for the most part, it was really cool.
Yeah, it came together so well. It was a very much a community project, which was definitely like the ethos of the Smith community as a whole.
Whoa, Curious.
Oh, speaking of Curious. we may have forgotten to inform some people that we may have been recording a podcast episode. So yeah, I think...
Oh yeah, okay. Well, if you're just listening audio only, this will make no sense. But if you're watching on video, then...
You might see some messages come up in the chat at some point.
One thing I'm just going to say is, like, it's, like, insane what how the summit turned out. You know, like it's a massive map with all these different moving parts, and they all work together just about. And it's definitely something that's never been done before. So it was just super cool. Yeah, I think as like the booth vendors, we were somewhat involved in the process, and we got to see the development from when the island wasn't fully built yet. And I really liked seeing all of the booths popping up on the build server. And then, yeah, on the day of the summit itself, there were even so many more things that were on the server, like all the plushies and stuff. It was just super cool to see.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you guys enjoyed it.
It was definitely special for it to come together for us.
Were there any times during the development process that something went very wrong? Yeah. And I guess what was the hardest part of the development process?
Yeah, I think
I think everything went wrong.
For sure. Anything that could have gone wrong during the development process went wrong. It was something for sure. There were a couple times where, and I mean, we'll talk about this later with the launch, but when it came to performance testing and benchmarking, things would be looking like so great at the beginning, and then all of a sudden everything would just implode on itself. So it was panic. And like the existential dread almost of this event is not going to turn out because something just blew up. But then we'd fix it and, you know, move on. And I'm sure RX has his own horror story.
Yeah. I think, like, you know, when you're planning an event, you know, things will go wrong. And part of planning an event is making sure you have backup plans on backup plans on backup plans. When we first started Summit, we were just worried that people wouldn't believe it was going to happen. There's been so many projects that, like, start, but, like, the getting people on board to commit and to produce something, like, we're asking booth vendors to create something to go on the server. You know, you got to meet them to make sure, like, hey, like, we're asking you to put in months of work into your booth, and we're gonna do our job of putting together the server. So definitely, you know, things going wrong, like, you know, there's a lot of different data pack specific, like all the vendor code that needed to be specially optimized for Summit to work effectively, or even just in general, you know, things would come up with a couple people, like various, you know, unexpected instances, and then we'd have to provide extensions for some of the booth vendors, but that would end up adding a lot of pressure to some of the other team members that needed to coordinate with those booth vendors, like Curious, to make sure those booths got on the server. So all those definitely just added on as sort of event planning, you know, things, I guess, but we were able to deal with them for sure.
Communicating with 50 different teams of people, plus all the panel, like, plus a few extra people who are doing panels. Yeah, do you want to just talk a bit more about that side of things, like the coordination of all the different people doing the different booths and panels?
Yeah, I can definitely take that. So there was sort of a two-pronged strategy, and I think it actually worked very well. I'm really happy that it worked. We had the natural extent of the Smith community just being around. In the form that we put together, because it was essentially a Google form. We was like, hey, we're doing the Smith Summit event, and we need you to put together an experience to go on the server. But then I'm telling people, I have no example of what an experience looks like, and I'm telling you, this is our first time doing it. You know, are you ready to, like, take the plunge? And, you know, in the beginning, it definitely worked. But the part that really took off was us being able to coordinate with a couple communities to advertise, like Minecraft Commands, us being able to post in the news channel, attracted a lot of, you know, attention from a lot of people. And we had a very, you know, organic outreach from that, just people really exciting and wanting to be like, hey, like, you should get involved. The other prong was Curious, Nexus, and I specifically reaching out to people that we thought would be a good fit. And this is just to encourage people to get involved, even if, you know, they weren't sure they wanted to get involved at all. Like if they're like, oh, I don't know if the Smith community is for me. Like, we don't want the Smith community to be like an in-group. And part of that is making sure that, you know, we seem welcoming. And if you're new to some of the data packing communities, you know, this could be a place for you to connect with other people. And that part really worked. I was able to talk to so many people in DMs to get them involved. And even to the extent of Curious getting Nice Name involved, which is one of the upcoming YouTubers that's using, you know, displays to talk about geology. All of that was a really great way for the involvement aspect in terms of people getting to know and on Summit. And then from there and on, it's just sort of coordinating on Discord, making sure that everybody has an idea of like the deadlines and the different like requirements of the booth, like, oh, how many entities can I do, or can I use shaders for this part, or how do I add a flag or a balloon? Part of it is just, you know, coming up with answers on the fly because we don't have any systems set up, and part of it was like just a little bit of discretion, maybe not the most even amount, but figuring out, you know, what is possible and can we make this work rather than just like keeping it simple, which was definitely the right way to do things, that it, making sure that people were being as creative as they could.
I know that with our booth, we definitely had a bit of a last minute changes we had to make, because obviously Code of Copper is rather or has potential to be rather performance heavy.
Yeah. Reading through like everyone's code was definitely a feat, and thankfully like BPR came in later on to really help me with that sort of task, because that's just like, it's not just like 50 boots worth of code, but people write code in different scenarios, like whether it's a map or whether it's survival world. The amount of cruft that people do, like some boots are easily, you know, mockable, but for example with the Code of Copper booth, you had your entire engine for Code of Copper on the server for Golem script.
And yeah, so much code.
Looking through that, I'm panicking. I'm like, oh god, somebody runs this Golem, the whole server is going to crash. How do you prevent the server from just like not lighting on fire? It was tricky, but I think essentially it came with a little bit of, you know, not everybody's going to get it perfect. We don't really have a template of how things are going to work, so we're just going to deal with whatever happens. And fortunately, we got a pretty good computer from a sponsor that could handle some of like the inefficient parts pretty well.
Yeah, it ran surprisingly well for the amount of data packs that were loaded in. Like, I mean, obviously there was some lag specifically around the start, but most of the summit, I feel like, or at least when I was on, was functioning fairly well. So well done to Bloom, I guess, for their computers. There'll be a link to the sponsor in the video description and the show notes, so check them out. Yeah, yeah, you know, well, you better use that affiliate code while it still exists.
Yeah.
I don't know if when you post this episode it'll be active, but I mean, overall working with the Bloom has been really awesome, like coordinating with them, and They've been super flexible. Like, honestly, you go to like any server provider and you talk about data packs and people are sort of like, just use plugins. But working with a provider who was able to like listen, hear us out, like, okay, we got this crazy idea, can you make it happen? And they were like, yeah, sure, why not? that's somebody you want to work with in the future, hopefully. So
first ever data pack convention running on plugins.
Oh, right, exactly.
Plug-in convention.
If there was no Bloom, there was no summit, is how this played out, especially when it came to like that first day or two where performance was terrible. We were able to talk like directly with their tech support team in a way that if we were with another provider, we basically would have been like, or they basically would have just been like, you know, we're giving you a free server, like figure it out on your own or whatever. But they were listening the entire time and trying to give guidance, so I was really appreciative.
They came to the panels too, some of the panels. They were like, I've never seen anything like this in game, and I was like, awesome, let's go.
Yeah, the panels were such a surreal experience.
How did you guys feel after the first initial playtest of the server? For context to the audience, all of the booth vendors, once all of the booths had been submitted, they ran a play test for all the booth vendors to test their booths and everyone else's booths. How did you organizers feel after that initial play test?
No, I felt great after having booth vendors come on and check everything out. It, for a while, it was hard to tell like how fun the event would be because it was only us staffers on. And so like everyone knew everything at the time. But by the time of the first playtest, we had, 50%? A little over 50% done, right?
I think a bit more. There's a couple of key boots that weren't fully working or ready, but I would say 80%, honestly.
80%? Yeah. And, like, by that point, the map more or less was alive. Like, the vibes didn't change too much from there. Yeah. And so it was just a really good sign that, like, we were going in the right direction.
It didn't crash when everybody got on.
It's true.
I don't think. Yeah. We had some issues with some... We had to use World Guard due to, illegal block states next to trapdoors and stuff, unfortunately. And Vanilla doesn't really have a good way to avoid that. So there were some issues with configuring some of those permissions, configuring the proxy that honestly is just... You don't know until you try it. And now that we've done it, we can probably do it again. But we were able to iron out a lot of things, figure out some of the performance leaks and stuff. So it was surreal to see everything come together, for sure. And it was like, after seeing this map from, it starts from scratch. Like, you start from, a single block, and you're like, okay, this is going to be an entire server. And then you get to the entire server, and you're like, wow, it's, here. Like, we've done something. That was, just a very rewarding experience. And I know the team was really happy about it.
Yeah, I found it really cool just to go on the playtest server and just see all the booths in action. Because in the build server, we were just all in spectators. So we could see all the blocks in place, but we couldn't see any of the data packs that were functioning and making stuff do things. And then in the playtest server, we actually got to experience those data packs, and that was cool to see.
Even for somebody who had tried a lot of the boots on the build server as part of the original testing process, I still found so many things I did not know about, in the final server.
I think especially adding, so the plushies were added really late. At least RX and I were, yeah. RX and I were busy with all the other stuff. We didn't have time to play around with them. So when I was on the server for the first time and I was looking for the plushies and all the secrets, even though I had seen the map, for 4 months or whatever, it felt so much more alive by the time, things actually started.
Yeah, the alive part is understated, honestly. It's not just the parts on the server, the flags are moving and you have the animated Javas, armor stand moving and stuff. Those parts are alive. But it's the interactivity. You can throw things away and you just go pick up a balloon, and when you throw the balloon it flies away. You can click on the screens and it sort of makes a sound, or you're just kind of AFKing and you just hear a trolley pass you. All those small details, and even within people's boots of interactivity, they're gems. It feels like this convention is a real place that you can go and do things in. And even during the playtest, you felt that it was coming, but on launch day and when people were actually on experimenting and experiencing those type of things, it was very magical, in my opinion. It was super cool.
Yeah, it's amazing all the different things that you can do around the server. All the interactive booths, and then the balloons and the trams and the little music, little stereos playing
jukebox
music, and all of the things, the jump pads, the flags, it all just comes together and makes such a great, you're just walking around and then, oh look, it's flags. Let's see which booth's flags are up right now. Oh, I recognize that booth. I remember playing that one. And it just came together so well.
So immersive.
That's a great word. Yeah, immersive.
Yeah. You guys did honestly a fantastic job making the entire experience so immersive and just alive. I mean, like, I don't think there was a single day during the convention being up that I didn't join. I think I logged on every single day to the convention because there was always something to do. There was, like, always either going to be a panel that I wanted to attend, or I needed to get all the plushies, or find all the stamps, or just hang out. Just, like, randomly talking to people on the summit. It felt like being at a real convention almost, which was just so awesome. It was like if a convention had jump pads. I wish real life conventions had jump pads.
Yeah, that's the thing we were saying in the last episode. Like, it doing something in Minecraft, obviously it's not quite the same as a real convention, but it does allow you to do a lot of different things, like having a tram running around the whole summit, or yeah, all the jump pads to get you across different things, which you just could do in a real life convention, obviously. Do we want to talk about the panels now? Yeah, the panels were definitely my favorite part of the summit. They just felt so... It's hard to describe, but it really felt like they brought the community together, because you could see people sharing their ideas and talk to other people, and it was just so fun to watch the panels and talk to people afterwards. Were the panels part of your original idea of what the summit would be, or did they come later?
They were part of the beginning for sure.
Yeah, they were definitely. It was very early on that we knew we wanted to have some form of like in-game live talk. We didn't really know what panels would look like at the beginning, because it's so hard to predict that without, you know, the reference that we'd have, but they turned out great.
Yeah, some of the like other stages came along later, like the beach Coliseum stage was never used, but it was planned. But the main, I think like one of the first two panels I ever thought about that were probably going to happen was the World Gen panel and then the Beep panel, because, you know, I love yapping. But no, it was, I was really surprised on how well they were. Not because I thought they weren't going to be awesome. I definitely loved how much work everybody put in, like seeing all the slide decks come in. But the attendance was resounding. Oh man, people showed up. That was crazy.
Yeah.
It was like up to 80 people on some of the panels, I think.
Yeah.
Like, we... to be honest, like, we... Because we had the Zoglin panel, right? And it's just... We had the wankiest title, like... designing a technical data pack preprocessor. And we had just the worst time slot. Just actually no one was awake at that time. And we're like, there's going to be 5 people showing up. This is going to be an actual nightmare. and then we have it. And the in-game audience is packed. And there's even more people in the Discord. And it's like, holy wow. People are showing up to this thing that we worked on. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, there was about 30 people turning up to the panel at 10:30 in the morning in, well, where I am in Europe, and it was the middle of the night in America, so yeah, I was surprised we got that many people.
Yeah, it was 4:30 in the morning or something like that when your panel was going on.
I've got to say, as a panel attendee as well, it really did feel like you were missing out if you weren't on the server when a panel was happening. Like, I think you guys did a really good job of making the panels like events that you don't want to miss. Because I think having the in-game voice chat and then just as well the in-game text chat as well, there was something about, I don't know, maybe it was even just a like an emergent property of just the panels being hosted again. But there was something really special about the experience of attending a panel and being with everyone there, that is just like, you don't want to miss that. And I think that's why so many people showed up.
Yeah, in the feedback form, we were asking how people thought about the panels and whether they enjoyed attending. And I think one that stood out was that they really looked forward to the panel even during the weekdays, because for some context, most of the panels were stacked on the weekend, specifically that very first Sunday after opening day, where it was like back-to-back-to-back panels. That was crazy.
Yeah.
But the ones during the week, people were getting on. And if you look at the player chart every day, it spikes around whatever the panel was. And then it would just slowly linger away as people would just stick around on the server and look for their plushies every day during the week and then leave. And it was like an excuse to come back to Summit every day. It was like, oh, tune in for a panel and stick around to go find, you know, 10 plushies and then come back the next day for the next panel. Our average play time, I don't know, Nexus, it was like, what, three hours? 3.5 hours?
I have it in front of me. Average play time per player was 3.25 hours.
Yeah. That's crazy. That's actually crazy.
Insane. That's insane, like, retention there.
I definitely played for a lot longer than that.
I mean, but yeah, there's probably a few people that skewed the playtime a little bit.
Yeah, I logged 3.5 days of active playtime over the week, so I can tell you how much you had if you want. Let's see here.
Oh, yeah. Expose everybody, Nexus.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Are you... Let's see here. You had... like a day and a half worth of active playtime on the server.
Nice, nice.
And Gears, you had just short of a day. RX,
let's
you
go.
Had,
I had more than
almost
Gears.
Two.
I was free, like, the Sunday, you know, right at the beginning of the convention, that was when I was on the most, because it was, like, the perfect for my European time zone, because the first panel was at 10:30 a.m., that was our panel, and then the last one ended at something like 9 p.m. so it was just like one day basically, and I just was at home and on the server the whole day, and in between the panels I was just looking at the booths, and then throughout the week I was a bit more busy and I didn't quite get that much time, and I didn't get to see all the panels, but it was so fun on the first day, just exploring everything and seeing all the cool things that had been put in there.
Yeah, we purposely didn't put any panels on that very first Saturday, except for very late. We put one, the log.zip panel. But yeah, just, you know, on the topic of panels, the amount of work and creativity that the panels put together, I'm so glad I put log.zip first, because it was such a cool hook for how the panels could be. And Kanakarab did such a fantastic job talking about a facet of data packing that not many people are familiar with, you know, doing it for like a big YouTuber and running multiple channels. But it was so informational. It wasn't just about log.zip studios. It was about, you know, it had a lesson. It had a call to action a little bit and had something to take away. And I think everybody attended the panel was like, I learned, you know, a couple of things that I can actually integrate into my work. And that was precisely the point I really wanted the panels to get across. It was like, you know, learn more about my project, but also here's something that you can take away. And, you know, throughout that week on Sunday and throughout the week, I mean, we had panelists that had some, you know, interactivity, like the Creeper's Code gave everybody like a compass to talk about some facet of game design, which was really cool. And we had Olraf join for that one. And then we had another panelist, Noblock Studio, that launched their website, and they had like a whole like mini fireworks show at their panel. So creative. The pixel art panel was pretty cool because they had a little bit of like role play of like the Windows OS.
That was so cool.
Yeah,
I wish I'd been there for that one, because I got name called in that panel, but I unfortunately it was 5:30 in the morning, so
yeah. The creativity was so cool. Like it really opens the door for, you know, a future summit, because it's like, it's not just a slide deck. Like, cool, the slide decks are in game, you know, and you can click through them. Like, that part's already pretty immersive. But the 3D sort of, you know, fireworks shows or giving people items or, you know, having people like just do whatever in their seats, like being able to throw items at Cloud, like all that immersion just adds up and creates a very cool environment for people to hang out. And it makes it, you know, makes you want to go to the panels. Worked like beautifully.
Yeah, that I like you brought up the clapping just there, and that's such a I don't know who started that, but someone at some point noticed that the pop item pop sound from queuing an item and having it come back in your inventory sounds almost like clapping. And it became like a little cultural moment where like everyone in the audience would spam queue to applaud. And it's such a cute and just beautiful moment, I think, that they're like, yeah, just collectively queuing items to applaud the panel. Yeah, it's just really like there's all of these like the only way I could describe them is like emergent behaviors that have come from this summit, like doing a summit in Minecraft and just seeing how these things emerge is just so cool.
I know, Nexus, if you wanted to add something about the panels, I've been yapping.
Yeah, you're good. Yeah, when it comes to like being in Minecraft and then with the panels, I think the panel that used that fact the best was Core Shaders. Being able to watch the slideshow, but then everything around you change all at once. And like, I think by far that's the panel that if you weren't in game four, you like missed out. Because the recording only captures it so well. I hope next year we have next summit, whenever that is. I'm not promising anything.
We don't have a time. There's no expectation for the next summit.
When is next summit?
There's a next summit, but we'll see about time.
Next week?
Yeah, next month. Yep. Surprise. Next month.
Sweet. Okay. It's locked in. It's locked in, guys. You heard it here first.
Oh, next time around, I'm hoping we have now that we have examples of like what you can really do with the panels, for some people to get even more creative next year and like see if they can top themselves.
Yeah.
I certainly want to
add more interactivity to a panel if I was gonna do one again.
Yeah, unfortunately we had a very boring topic, which basically was just all code snippets, which we could have had like Zoglin code snippets which then executed something in the Minecraft world, but we didn't really have enough time. We spent all our time making our booth and we didn't have a lot of time to plan our panels, so yeah.
We didn't have a lot of time to do a booth either.
No, it was a bit unfortunate timing.
I had the exact same situation with the beat panel. I finished my beat slides 15 minutes before I presented them. Whoops.
That is so stressful.
No, yeah. The timing of all the things I was responsible for were whack, but it all worked out, right, Nexus? It all worked out.
Everything definitely worked out, but RX was like 1-for-4, I think, on systems to a perfect success ratio. But panels worked out perfect, so.
The panels worked out. Everything else broke.
And one thing I'll just say, like I've said it before, I said it last episode, I've said it several times, but they were so inspiring watching all the panels and seeing people's ideas and how people had used certain features of the game to make cool stuff. And it just really made me like want to make data packs again. Cause yeah, I was sort of I've been a bit burnt out with data packs and I think Mox is the same. And then like, I feel like Smith Summit really revived my passion for data packs. And I think a big part of that was the panels. It was just, so cool to watch them and be a part of them.
Yeah, I mean, for the audience, if you just now are learning about Smith Summit, the panels are all recorded, and we have the VODs available, and we're going to be re-editing them as videos soon. So you should, even if you weren't able to join a game, the VODs are still a pretty great way to get inspired and learn about a different facet of data pack programming and more.
Yeah. The link to the Smith MC channel will be in the description and in the show notes. So make sure to check that out.
Oh, one more thing. I know you wanted to bring up Mox, and I wanted to bring it up as well. is the fireside chats. Like, those were, that was such a good idea as well. Like, that was one, it was a panel where, you know, a few of you guys, you got Olraf in there, which was super cool to see. You know, the starting thing you were just talking about, you know, the changes happening to Minecraft. And then afterwards, we all split up into different groups and talked about different things that we wanted to. And that was really fun, like talking to people about just finding people who are interested in a specific thing and having lots of people to talk about the same thing.
That was like, yeah, the fireside chats were amazing. I really do wish, like, I don't regret the data pack preprocessor chat, but I do wish I could have gone to the like Olraf interview as well. I wish I could have cloned myself. Yeah.
If they'd been recorded, I so would have watched the VODs on that, but yeah, they were.
Yeah, that was more of like a free form discussion. I don't think anyone recorded it.
No.
So yeah. If I was attending that, I definitely would have whipped out OBS because, like, come on, that needs to be recorded.
I was flying around spectator mode the whole time as a camera taking screenshots. So I was listening to every conversation. And there was always like something interesting happened regardless of what chat I was bouncing around to.
There's like 80 people on.
Even in the data pack preprocessor chat.
Yeah, I mean, obviously technical is not as exciting as Olraf leaking Mojang secrets, but like everything was like, there was always a conversation happening and it was like a good one, like, you know, every time.
Yeah. Well, I'll say it was more exciting for me. Mojang secrets, nah. So, preprocessor internals, hell yeah. Let's go.
The really cool story with how Olraf basically got invited for the fireside chats was all through Nice Name. So that's the geology YouTuber that I was talking about earlier. He, first of all, is awesome. He, like, Curious had reached out to them, I think, to maybe create a booth. And he honestly just started just sticking around and helping out to the point where he made our trailer when we had absolutely no direction. Like, we tried to, like, get it started, but we didn't know what we wanted to do. And then Nice Name just sort of took off with an idea, and it just worked out. Super, super awesome. Awesome guy. I do check out his channel as well, but he posted a video on the day of Summit talking about, you know, Smith Summit is open, you should also check it out. And Olraf is a fan of Nice Name and watched his videos. And he just showed up on Sunday to Creeper's panel and then just sat in for a lecture. And we were just like, oh, hello. And he was like in voice chat and everything. And then after he joined, he DM'd one of us, and he DM'd Curious, and we got him into like a private channel where we could coordinate. And we just asked him, like, hey, like, we have these fireside chats coming up, and we want to do a kickoff to sort of start the conversation, and then we'll break up in the rooms. And I was like, do you want to be on stage for a kickoff? I'll invite a couple other people to talk about different things. And at first I was like, you know, it's a bit large of an ask to have somebody come on and like put themselves out there, because this isn't like an officially like Mojang sanctioned, you know, appearance, right? He's just appearing on his own and just hanging out with us. But I woke up that day on the day of, and he's like, oh, sure, I'll show up. And so I'm just scrambling to put together the whole program to making sure it's good. So I'm like, oh, Olraf is coming. I guess like we got to make sure this is like spick and span. And it turned out really so scary. Much better. Yeah, I was like, does he know when to come on? Like,
yeah, Arx was panicking the whole time leading up to Fireside, thinking Olraf wouldn't show up, and he showed up like, you know, 5-10 minutes earlier or whatever. And it's like, he had no reason to worry.
Oh, that's so awesome. Honestly, I feel like the Fireside chats were such a good addition. Just having a sanctioned place to do just some discussion on different topics, and people can, like, well, it very much reminded me of an unconference where you can, like, there's multiple different discussions going on, and you can join and leave whenever you want and really, like, spread ideas around. And it's like, if Summit ever happens again, I really hope that maybe there's even more fireside chat like time slots, because I feel like that's a really good addition.
Yeah, I guess... got the idea from Uncomp, by the way, from the Rust Uncomp, because I was just at RustCon.
Yeah, I think that's like sort of like more potentially more traditional convention panel would be like, you know, it's like these panels were more like, you know, presentations or talks or whatever, but like a panel, you know, where you have a few people talking about a thing and then people ask questions. And I think the Datapet preprocessor talk was quite small, so like pretty much anyone could just join in, but like I think the AllRef Q&A was a bit more like that sort of, yeah, just general discussion on a topic. But yeah, I think it would definitely be cool to have more of that in the next thing, like two or three time slots where that can happen, so that you can join in with more than just one.
And also maybe a way to have the different firesides maybe recorded or something in the future would be cool as well.
Yeah, I think for the next one, I want to spend a bit more time on the streaming setup, because I mean, it definitely worked except for when it didn't, like pixel art panel. But
watching back to the pixel art panel VOD and just things are going everywhere.
Yeah, that's
interesting.
Luckily, that'll be, you know, fixed when we get to editing it. But yeah, I want to improve it next time around and hopefully make it a little bit more dynamic. So we can do more with it, or panelists can do more with the actual camera and being able to like move the camera around based on what they're presenting and whatnot.
Maybe have the slides be like almost have the panelists in a small window, and then you have the slides be the main like view, and like that would be good for some. Well, like that would have been good, for example, for the Zoglin presentation, which is very like focused on showing code snippets and stuff like that. I know that I had my dad in the chat on that one, and he asked to get the camera moved forwards because he couldn't see the slides at all.
Right, yeah.
I think it did end up getting moved. I haven't watched back the VOD actually, but
it did. I watched it.
But yeah, like just yeah, different formats for the presentation would probably be good. Hopefully if we do it again next year, we won't be so reliant on just code snippets. We did try and make our slides more interactive and less boring. Well, we split out the dot points so that we could introduce them when we're talking about them, and that meant that we had like, was it 114 slides? We were pushing it.
Yeah. You weren't the most, I can tell you that.
Yeah, did it wasn't WorldGen like at 130?
Oh. WorldGen Tools was like 130, 160, I don't remember.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Well, okay, yeah, let's move on to this question. What was it like for you guys to end the summit? And I guess, how did you feel after during the closing ceremony and then straight afterwards?
Yeah, it was... It was surreal because it didn't feel like Summit was over. Like, you know, we ended the closing ceremony and it was like the majority of the team just sitting around on the panel server after, you know, everyone crashed the server. And we were talking and talking. We had to ban the word Summit. We're not allowed to talk about Summit in the team chats for the next until January. Because it was so crazy. It was a lot. It was relief. And then also, like, it consumed so much of our lives for 4 months for it to just be over like that. It's just, like, a void that is really difficult to, like, move on past. But, yeah, I was super happy with the event.
I felt very, probably, like, a little emotional, maybe. Just, like, everything coming to fruition. And now it's, like, done. Kind of, like, I don't know, end of a movie, maybe. The amount of hard work that everybody had put into the project was, it just came out so well, like so much better than everybody ever expected. Like, despite all the problems, I mean, you know, we had a lot of issues with performance and bugs and stuff like that. And beyond, you know, that, it still felt like we went, you know, it just went so much better. And it was so motivational, inspirational to be able to come together and do that. It just felt like all the hard work that we put in really paid off to put together something like an event like this. It was nearly overwhelming and serene for sure. And then, of course, Nexus was just looking for plushies after Summit was over.
Nice. No, I had all the plushies. I used Mox's little slideshow and got them.
I did not get all the plushies.
You cheated.
Yes, just the free camera. Okay, sure.
Hey, look, I made that slideshow.
It's true.
You're the one, like, you're the one cheating off of a cheater. So, looking back over at the summit, what do you think went well?
I think the panels, even despite like me getting some of the panel resources quite late, went very well. People were really able to be creative in the ways that they wanted to be. Maybe it wasn't as clear on how creative you could be, but I think almost every presentation just did such a good job on talking about what they wanted to talk about and presenting that in a way that the audience was very intrigued and taking it away from it. That went much better than my expectations, honestly. I also think we did really well with attracting curiosity from a lot of people that are coming on the server. It's not like DataPax is a very well-known niche of the community. People still confuse it with mods and such, but I think this did a really cool job showcasing what's possible. I conducted a field trip with a online school in the middle of the week to showcase like what's possible within the game, and this is all like vanilla data packs. And a lot of the kids were like, "Oh, like how do I do this? Like I want to make this." Very interested in this stuff. Being able to expand people's curiosity is like one of the main reasons why I got involved in the space in the first place. Just figuring out what we can do in this box that has data packs or map making or and so forth. Those parts I think really nailed. The ambiance, the panels, and the curiosity aspect went beautifully, in my opinion.
The entire concept itself, I feel, just went so great and beyond our expectations for like what the format would bring out. So, like it's hard to undersell like how impactful the event was and how much fun everyone had, regardless of, you know, all the stuff that didn't go right.
Like the team powered through. We, you know, we had firefighters in the middle of the week putting fires out, and everybody sort of working in lockstep, figuring out, you know, making sure the experience was good for everybody. Even like the team, honestly, I was really happy with how the team came together to work on the project. It's definitely the largest project that Smith has put together, but it's probably the largest project I've done since I've started in this scene in general. Coordinating and collaborating with as many people and the core, you know, summit team that helped put together the event was really cool. I mean, it's no easy feat to have multiple people working in the same code base on different parts and having that work synergistically without enough time to test everything thoroughly, or like do like one code review of everyone's code. I mean, everybody worked together to, you know, to do their part and put something together. And there was like a synergistic magic that came out from that. Hard to convey in words.
Yeah, I think if any one team member wasn't there, Summit doesn't come out. Or if it does come out, it comes out so much worse. Every like core system you interact with, that was someone different for the most part who did it. And so it's like if ever anyone's gone, well, it's a lesser summit.
Yeah, the team did such a good job. Like, obviously in the, you know, the coordination of the event and the building and the all of that stuff. But during the summit itself, you know, you had a thread for all the booth vendors to report issues with their booths. Yeah, they were fixed pretty quickly. Like, there were a couple times that something broke with Code of Copper, and then we said it, and then, you know, someone came along and fixed it, and then it was working, and people could enjoy it all again. So that was super cool to see.
Yeah, that ended up working out really well. Like, I feel like so many of the issues, like, obviously from you guys' perspective as having to fix all of the issues, like you're seeing so many of them. But I feel like for the end user, because the issues are spread usually amongst the different hubs, or like because there's so many different like moving parts, like I feel like it isn't too noticeable really. And I feel like I don't think there was really any time where a bug like fully took away from the experience for me. In fact, I think some bugs improved the experience, but that's just my take on the jump boost situation.
The jump boost bug was so fun to play, and the scale bug with New in Town and the Elytra, like all those combined just made for such a, yeah, it was just fun to jump around the summit with jump boost and being tiny and with an Elytra.
I think the jump boost in the future should be made as a like reward for collecting all the stamps or something, because it like what like it just it did make movement around the server so fun. Like I literally spent like I think probably like 5 hours just jumping around from place to place, and like because I have the Elytra as well, I can like jump fly, and it was super fun. I know it breaks some booths technically, like. I guess Kuron Flux probably, but
I think we had a piece of feedback which I think really hits home when it comes to some of those, like, they're not really visual bugs, but they're like not important bugs. Like I think it was Nice Name actually who was like, I like a little bit of jank in my games, and those bugs just put in perspective that this is still Minecraft. Sure, we're doing all this crazy stuff, like there's full panels, there's networking, there's a full other game, Baba's You, like built in this game, but it, you know, at the core of it, it's Minecraft. Whatever happens in this game is as if a normal world is happening. We're just pushing the boundaries ever so slightly too far. And I think that almost grounds everything to the point where everyone's just having a good time. And it's hard to even be annoyed with all these things if they break one experience or not. Because it's like, you know, as long as it's not getting in your way, it's like still having a pretty fun time.
And it's not just Minecraft. This is data packs. Like, data packs are inherently janky, their whole deal. And I personally, that is one of the reasons why I love data packs, is because it's just, you're doing things that just are not supposed to be done. Like, it's you're not meant to be able to run a programming language in Minecraft. You're not meant to be able to run, like, a whole other game in Minecraft, but you can. And like, sure, it's jank, but it's beautiful jank. I think those little bugs are just great examples of like beautiful jank. The experience for a lot of people playing on the server is not that of, oh, it was so buggy and laggy. It's like, wow, this really is a data pack convention. You know, it's like, sure, there's a couple rough edges at times, but just impressed that everything is here and working as it is.
Yeah, and one other thing I just want to say quickly is, like, one aspect that I didn't really think about, or I haven't really thought about a lot, but it occurred to me that I think there were quite a few beginner data packers, or like who haven't been in the space that long or don't know a lot about data packs, who joined in the summit. And I guess I didn't think about that because I think a lot of people I know have been using data packs for a long time and are quite experienced with all the different things. But I think there was a significant portion. It would have been interesting to see in the summit survey form, like how many years of experience different people had with data packs to see how many new people there was. Because like for someone who's new to data packs and doesn't really know what they are or what they're capable of, just seeing this entire summit all powered by data packs and all the different booths doing different things is cool to like a way to share things that people have made with people who are new to the space.
Yeah, I mean, I should have asked for years in the form, but from whoever filled out the summit feedback form, we had like 65% who makes data packs and 30% who just enjoy playing. Like, they don't make data packs, but they enjoy playing them. And then we had like 2 or 3% that were like, I've never heard of a data pack. Yeah.
I do wonder how they ended up on the server, but
that's the question, right?
That's cool.
Yeah.
I guess maybe like a YouTube video of something and they just have never connected that what they're seeing in the video is a data pack. It's just Minecraft.
We had like this puzzle YouTuber who like makes YouTube videos on a lot of puzzle games, like Baba's You, come on just to try out Baba's You in Minecraft. And he posted his video like on the very last day of Summit. So like when it launched, you were able to come on the server and everything. And I have a feeling some people came from that and they were like, what is going on here? And they just saw the Baba's You thing. It was like, I've never seen this before. And they're like, wait, this is all the same game? What's going on here?
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
We might want to start wrapping up.
Yeah.
Because I'm running out of disk space rapidly, so.
Yeah. What is, like, one key takeaway for you from the summit as a whole?
I think, go Arx. Yours is better anyway.
No, you go.
No, you go.
Okay. I would say my key takeaway probably is the community. Every part of the summit has been a community project. You know, people working on the summit, the booth vendors, the panelists coming together to make summit like awesome. And the community showing up on launch day, despite the issues, people showing up again and again, three and a half hours of average wait time. I mean, that's 6 months cumulative time spent on the server. That's the community showing up for everybody and celebrating what's possible. That is my key takeaway of Summit. And that gets me really excited for the future, honestly. Knowing that this community is pretty vibrant and just has so much going on for it, for how niche it is and, you know, how, you know, just like everyone coming together, I guess. Like, it was the part that made me want to be like, okay, we're going to do this again. And, you know, we're going to do it even better. Or we're going to continue working on Smith, make it a better project. We're going to give people the tools to be as creative as they want. Because when people are given those tools and people are creative, it comes together beautifully and extravagantly and becomes an awesome thing for everybody involved. That would be my answer.
I think for me personally, like, my key takeaway is, like, you gotta, like, persevere with your projects. Like, I started Smith, like, its very first V1 before it was even called Smith when I was in high school. Like, a sophomore in high school when I was, like, 16. And, like, taking a project that was so small and, you know, meeting all these wonderful people and building up this community and, like, just persevering through, like, all the lulls we had and all of that. For anyone who's hesitating to do their thing, just, like, do it, you know? Because you never know where you'll end up with it.
Yeah, that's good advice. Anything can happen. Another thing that I was saying the last episode when we were talking about this is after this summit, you have a lot of the groundwork laid out for the next one, right? I really hope that the next one does happen in the not too far future. You'll be able to focus a lot more on some of the design aspects of it and like getting everything really nice and polished and improving all the experiences, because I feel like a lot of the groundwork is already laid out. So you've already got the tool that converts PDFs into data packs for the panels, and we already know how the panels go, and you know that you can get it to work with 50 different data packs doing different things at once. And so next time you don't need to figure any of that out and you can just focus on at the actual content of the summit. And I think next time it's going to be way better than this one was.
The summit team did a recap call like the day later, and we sort of outlined a lot of our like just internal lessons, what went right, what went wrong, where can be improved, that sort of schlick. And the overwhelming consensus was, you know, we grinded through this one knowing that we don't have time, and the amount of knowledge and context that we can do for the future is immense. Like, we can give everybody the context of what Summit looks like because, hey, look, we did it last time. that part is going to make it to where communication can be a lot better and coordination can be better. The scope of everything can be better. Performance can be better. It is a tall bar to climb, but it'd be very exciting to climb it for sure. And to do all the sort of work needed to make it happen again.
I mean, like you were saying, a lot of the foundation has already been laid, and I'm sure a lot of the systems that were on this summit are going to move over, but I think where we're really going to be able to shine is all the things we learned about, like, the interactivity, and hopefully the next one's going to leverage the fact that, you know, we're in a game even more than this one did, make it feel even more special.
Okay, and with that, I think we should bring this episode to a close. Before we go, does anyone, you know, want to add any final thoughts?
I'm happy to, you know, everybody tuning in. It's been an immense amount of, like, you know, our time and energy to put something together for this. And if you don't know what the Smith community is, if you're new, you know, just join and, you know, ask some questions. And there's a lot of people really excited to answer them. So hope to do more things, you know, like Summit and other events in the future.
Yeah, and there's definitely more coming. Keep your eyes out on Smith. Obviously, Summit's a ways out, but we have other things we're working on.
And I guess one last thing. Do any of you guys have a question you want to ask us?
I got a question. And I think this is one that I'm worried about for the next summit, but you guys already did one panel. Do you think you'll find yourselves doing another panel next time around? Or do you think this is it?
I would definitely be down to do another panel.
Yeah, absolutely. It was
absolutely.
It was a great experience doing a panel, and yeah, I think if I can find something to talk about, I'll submit a request for a panel.
I started a blue sky thread. I started a thread of ideas that are untapped potential.
Optimization is a big one. There's no optimization panel. Surprised about that.
Yeah. Everyone's too scared to talk about it.
It's always changing, too.
It'll be outdated in like a month.
Yeah.
With all the data pack changes that have been happening recently, I kind of want to do a panel on, like, the history of data packs and how far it's come since, you know, they first existed or since commands first existed. So, yeah, I might try and do, like, a panel about that at some point.
That would be an awesome
panel. If nobody else does it.
I would definitely attend that panel.
Yeah, the door is open. I think when people start doing the panels, a lot of it's like introduction to projects. Once you've introduced your project, you're not going to let reintroduce it. So there's a lot of cool things to talk about. And I think now that a lot of people have attended them, there might be, you know, even more panels from the audience. I mean, yeah, we'll have to probably figure out the schedule a lot more next time because we may not be able to support every single topic.
It could be cool to have, like, some more panels as well. Like, I feel like you're going to get a lot more submissions if there is a next time than you did this time. And, like, you already did get a pretty good amount of submissions, I would say. So it's going to be interesting to see who you weed out.
Yeah, I think In the 10th summit, when I'm trying to submit a 10th panel to do, you're like, yeah, okay, he's had enough of the stage. Let someone else go. Okay, well, it's been great talking to you guys. Glad that we managed to find a time to record between our four pretty different time zones and, you know, you guys being busy after the summit and whatever. Been super good to talk to you about this and hear your thoughts on it. I guess before we say goodbye, do you just want to, like, plug Smith, tell people what they can find and where they can find it?
Smith.net, obviously. That's our homepage. That's where, you know, all of our platform is and all that. Smith.net/Discord if you want to join our community. And then we're SmithMC on YouTube, Blue Sky, Twitter, maybe TikTok. There was talks about that, so maybe we'll be elsewhere too. But I'm sure you can find a Smith MC on the main ones.
And RX, why should they join the Smith Discord and social media?
Yeah, you should definitely join. There's a community of people that are just talking about really cool parts of data packing. So it's kind of fun to listen and work. There's a lot of updates about the future of Smith. I mean, we have so many cool things we're working on that it's kind of cool to get the first look at what they look like. Yeah, it's just nice to be in the community. So do join the Discord and keep a lookout for our social medias. It'd be awesome.
Well, I think that about wraps it up. So thank you, RX, for joining us.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me and letting us talk about Smith.
And thank you, Nexus.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was great to yap about this stuff. It's awesome.
And yeah, we have been DataPack Podcast. You can check out our other episode on Smith or other episodes about other DataPack stuff wherever you get your podcasts. And if you want, you can join our Discord server to talk about this podcast and other DataPack related topics. All the links will be in the show notes and the description. And I guess, yeah, we'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Bye.
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 When I edit these, I just like cut out most of the stuff I say. Last episode, I think we recorded for about an hour and 20 minutes, and the final thing was about 55 minutes, because yeah, it was about half an hour of me talking about nonsense. No, we both rambled quite a bit about our booth before talking about the actual summit.
I definitely ramble a lot. If you listen to any of the opening or closing ceremony and I'm talking, I'm just rambling the whole time.
But no, when the guests ramble, it's good.
Yeah, guest rambling is good.
Host rambling is bad.
Yeah.